text is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Good morning. It's good to be here, and it's good to see all of your faces. And like Brother Evan was talking about, this is part of that preparation that we're doing right now. So, in 1 Thessalonians, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. When God works a work or performs a work in an area of your life that people know about, that's a good testimony when we see that work being done in someone. The best testimony is the example of a transformed life, and it speaks volumes. When a change is brought by God, that speaks to the hearts of the brethren to see the work that he is doing in you. That which is hid will be brought to light. It will be shouted from the housetops. It is impossible to keep good news or bad news from spreading. But the good news is we have a good report of you, brethren. Your life is a mission field. People are looking to you to see if you are real. They are looking for some demonstration that Jesus is real and that he is really working. Christianity is more than a formality, and I know that you know that. But we look to each other in the midst of trials. We look to the one who has joy in the midst of trial, because their life in Jesus is real and built on a solid foundation and eternal truth. We are waiting for his Son from heaven. We are occupying until he comes. We are waiting for that crown of righteousness because we love his appearing. Amen. He is our only hope. And without Jesus, we are nothing. God had to save us. God had to cleanse us. God had to keep us. And it will take him to bring us to heaven. It is being raised to life from the dead, him being raised to life from the dead, and being alive that we have hope and that we look for his return.
If this weekend were a race, each one of us that speak, it's like a lap. You see, this is all one race. This is all. So I'm going to take the baton from Brother Evan and just go another lap. This is. I was thinking as he was speaking, the constraint toward our purifying ourselves is one of love. It's not one, like Brother Ricky said, it's not one of obligation. We're obligated, but it's an obligation of love. We want to. We love his appearing because we desire him. And So what I want to do is think of several things. I want to declare that the source of this love that we have is God himself. We do love his appearing, but the source of this love, he loved us first. See, what would it be if we loved him first? See, you just can't come at it that way. Nothing with God works that way. Everything has to come from God to us, and then there's a reciprocation because of what he's made us to be. Secondly, I want to connect this matter, as the scripture does, of our present love. He says we love his appearing. We love it now. It's not that we're just going to love it then. There's going to be no change at his appearing. I mean, we'll all be changed, but it won't be a change in our affection for him. Certainly it will increase and continue to grow. But when he comes, we'll love him. So I want to connect that together as the scripture does and bring some other scriptures in on that. And then also, I want to encourage us to love God. I mean, this is the exhortation, right? You can come at this, and I know I have many times where you're thinking of this doctrinally, but maybe the heart's like lagging behind. But this morning we want to, you know, engage our hearts in this, in our life in general. And I want us to fervently love God. Amen. And to just fit right into this time. His appearing, when you think of appearing, you think of it like it as the opposite of disappear. So it's not like we do see him. The world in general doesn't see him. But it also does say we'll see him and we'll be like him because we'll see him as he is. So this matter of appearing is going to be new, but not altogether new. But it's going to be, this is like a break point of something that has never happened up to this point. Remember, in Hebrews it talks about three appearings, and they're not necessarily in order. It starts in the now. It says that he's appearing now in the presence of God for us. That we know that. Then it looks backward, and it talks about how he first came into the world. He appeared once in the end of the world to put away sin by his sacrifice. But then when it looks forward, it says, to them that look for him, he will appear without sin unto salvation. Amen. So think of it in that way. His appearing is not invisible to us, but it's going to be the capping of all these other appearings. This is the appearing to which we're headed. So when you think of ones in the Scripture that love God and spoke of it, I first of all think of David, all the writing in the Psalms. He wrote in Psalm 116, I think this was him, he said, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications." I would have to say the same thing. He has heard me. Even before I knew how to cry out to him, for God so loved the world, he demonstrated and did something. Before we knew that we needed these sort of things, he was already active in coming and bringing these things to pass. But then we love him because he first loved us. Our love for him, let me back up a little bit. As Brother Evan was talking too, our purification is different. When Jesus came, he didn't have to purify himself like we have to purify ourselves. He didn't have sin, never had sin. He did have to demonstrate that he was pure, even as the Passover lamb was, you know, set up and watched and all that. He demonstrated that his life was perfect and pleasing unto God. In fact, God spoke several times and said so. And the Pharisees, they could find no fault in him. The ones that hated him, they could find nothing. They had to drum up like lies and things even at his trial. But our purification is to put us in the category where he is. And that's what he's doing. He's purifying us and bringing us into himself and unto himself. So that's what the appearing is going to reveal. This final appearing, it's working now. It's already at work. But this final appearing is going to reveal that this is actually what's been taking place in the saints for the ages. Amen. David, if you think of Psalm, I think it's 42, this is the one where it says, "As the hart pants after the water brook." See, that's a man that loves God. And in our measure, we can say that too. You've said that, you've prayed that and read that and you've felt that panting after God. See, that's loving God. Those are the ones that love his appearing. He said, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." And he asked this question, "When shall I come and appear before God?" Well, we appear in a sense one by one when we pass from this life into the grave. But there's going to come this final time when he will come and appear, and then all will appear before him. So this is the appearance toward which we are headed. Jesus, in answering the question, what's the first and greatest commandment? He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your..." Look at the order of this. Your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't think he just randomly, you know, spilled these out. Heart. So we do love with our soul, with our emotional being, with our mind. We love because we consider things. We reckon according to the way God does. But primarily, I think the room for loving is the room called your heart. In other words, You can't totally get around it with your words and define it, but you love. In other words, your affection and your zealousness is toward Christ. And so as we go through this, I want to look into why that is so and encourage you to have that increased in you as God continues to work. Let's look at the text in 1 Timothy. Tim read one of the verses. I want to back up a little bit and read several more of them. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is in a section where Paul is writing to the young man, the preacher, the leader, as it were, in the body there, named Timothy. And he says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." So I guess you can learn something about where his kingdom is now, right? And what it's really going to be like. "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they..." Now, as we're reading through this, I want us to notice there's a distinction made, especially in the apostles' writing, Paul and some of the others, between the us and the them. Them and us. He goes back and forth. So, and we know this is... Somebody's going to talk about this later. The sheep and the goats. It's the same principle. He's not saying... Paul's not trying to hold the ones on the outside. He's just looking at the overall situation and saying, this is the landscape. This is the landscape in the world the way it is. In verse 3 and 4 particularly, he says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What we're pointing out and looking at is, these are the things that define this love. So in other words, if you're enduring sound doctrine, you're actually headed in the direction of loving God, and you're ready at his appearing. See how these things fit together? After their own lusts, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So they're going the wrong way. That's the they. That's the them. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, getting a little farther away, and shall be turned unto fables. Now he switches direction. He comes back. He says, but you watch. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. So as Timothy and as we engage in those things, we're pointed toward loving God. See that? He says, for I am now ready to be offered. This is Paul's testimony. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
Amen.
Henceforth, this is the turning point. As Paul departs from this life into the next, he sees there is laid up for him a crown of righteousness. But he says, this is not just for me. He was a premier apostle in all these ways. But he says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, not to me only. See, so look how large and accepting the Lord is of ones that love him. He shall give me, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Amen.
So this is like an invitation. Come on in. The judge then will host a time of reckoning at his appearing. This was mentioned even yesterday. There will be a division, right hand, left hand. Ultimately, the fine-tuned separations that we have on the earth, you know, the world's peoples are divided in all kinds of ways, time, cultures, gendered, on and on and on and on. But actually, there's going to be only two divisions at the end. Those that love his appearing, and those that want nothing to do with it. Sheep and the goats.
Yeah.
But the king is going to make this distinction between those who are Christ. See, the people you're actually engaged in this in your life now, and you're confirming it to yourself. And then it'll be finally shown to be what it is at his appearing.
Amen.
So in the apostles writing, this distinction is often apparent, but it's in regards to the reception or rejection of the truth. It's not about, in other words, when we're talking about loving God, we're not talking about just an emotional affinity, I lean that way. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about tying ourselves to everything he is. It's all or nothing. That's what we're talking about. Those outside, the ones of the text that when he turns them they, see, they've actually aligned themselves with things and systems in this present evil world. They're not looking. They're not loving. But we are. Those that are looking and waiting in love have done all. We've done all. Remember how Peter said, we've done all. He'd done all he could. Now, we can say that, but then we still have more to do. So, but again, God is working in this. But we do all to have and to hold identity with the object of our love, Jesus. Now, this is another thing too. Not that anybody's saying it wrong, but I want us to be careful that when we think about loving his appearing, we're not thinking about an event, but rather a person. There is an event, and the person will come, but we're talking about actually loving Jesus himself. Uh-huh. See, the event will come and the event will be passed, as it were, but we'll continue with him in eternity.
Amen.
So the second coming really has an ability to orient people in regard to God. What it's going to do is going to like snap everything into a final focus.
Amen.
Where are you? When he comes, there it is.
Amen.
It's actually mentioned often in the apostles' writing. So his second coming has like a corrective ability to all kinds of issues that go on in the church.
Amen.
When you talk about the second coming, it can affect. You just look at that as you read through the apostles' writings. To love Christ also is a growing affection as one grows up into his fullness. I think about the other time we had when we were talking about we are complete in him. See, these are all, we're saying the same thing again and again and again because that's how God is grooming this, that we see how all these things are joined together. So to love him is not an in and out, it's rather a growing movement, strengthened, confirmed, I think of a lot of times where the psalm talks about how the city of Jerusalem was compacted together. See, that's how your love is. It's tightened up and made more firm as we... And the way that we love is not just to say, well, I'm going to love, I got to love. It's rather to know him as you know him.
Amen.
To love his appearing then is far greater than an expressed favor of that event, but rather it's to love the man Amen. Christ Jesus. It is the consummation of an intentional redirecting of our focus unto obtaining eternal life. Let me read here from... See if I get the right one. Hang on one second. This is 1 Timothy, chapter 6. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. He had just talked about things that were of the earth and things that would hold people back. He says, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith. So loving God and being ready at his appearing is leaving things behind, but that's not all. It's taking hold of things that are preparing you for the time to come. That's what Brother Evan was talking about. Purifying yourself is actually jettisoning some things in favor of things that are going to carry you. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto or to which you are called. You have professed a good profession before many witnesses. So Paul's saying, go ahead and let this be seen. I give you charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our lap, as it were, as I was talking before. That's what you do. You run with patience the race set before you, so that at his appearing, your love is strong and true and ready. So this appearing is a line of demarcation then that will affect all of the earth. The loving pertaining to his appearance is one, though, of great satisfaction unto us. It is experience. When his appearing comes, there will be a lot of things that we sorrow, like our tribulations and a lot of sorrows in the earth that will be left behind. But our focus is not going to stay on that. See, we're not going to be hindered or hampered by those things anymore. Amen. Brother Al has a text that sort of sums this all up. Death will be swallowed up. See, that's the movement that's taking place there, in victory. So all these things that we're leaving behind will be... They're not just going to be replaced like even up. I'm going to give you one for one. See, they're not going to be of any consequence anymore. But that's what love does. When you love his appearing, it prepares you for that time.
Amen.
His appearing and the subsequent fullness in eternity and our enjoyment of it will occupy then all of our attention. See, we're not going to get there and, you know, you get your reward and now it's time for the next person. You get yours and we're all just kind of milling about wondering what to do. It's not like that. There's going to be, it'll be a wondrous place of activity and joy and fulfillment. And we can speak, you sense that. Even if you can't spell it out exactly, you sense that because of how God is and how Christ is and what he's working in you. That which you hold, that which you have already then, hold fast till I come. That's the exhortation from the Lord. The love that we have for his appearing is distinct for this occasion. When you speak of words, and especially in the scriptures, you know how there's such a huge range of meaning. That's why so many people get it wrong. They may be thinking on this level when God's talking about it way up here, you know. But the love for his appearing is distinct for this occasion. It's a different kind of love. It's a love for him. It's not just a love that I'm getting out of here or a love that all this tough stuff is over. It's a love for him. We love his appearing because he's coming. Our love is reserved for our Savior, our Redeemer. This is not a doctrinal response that we figured out and we said, well, yeah, this is right, so I have to agree this way. No, it's one of, if I can say it this way for lack of a better way, it's one of passion. It's one of where we've integrated our entire being into putting into this love. Amen. It's actually, though, rooted in his love, and it's a response on our part of hope.
Amen.
Hope of his appearing. His appearing will reveal many things. There's a text in Colossians where it talks about, let me go ahead and read it, Colossians chapter 3. Start at the top. He says, If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now that's where you get in trouble in the world, because this is what you're about, and the world is not about this. So there's going to be this conflict immediately. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then he says, when Christ, who is our life, well, he just said that he says you're dead, and then he says, when Christ, who is our life. So, see, but this is not confusing. See, you're always bearing about in your body the living and the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now, the world can maybe identify with the dying part, because they know who you were, they know who they are, they see the similarity, and they can see you don't do that anymore. So they can see, well, why is he not? But they can't really readily identify with this matter of being risen with Christ, because they're not alive, and unless they're born again, they won't be. See what I mean? So there's always going to be this disparity with the world. But he continues on, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. This will be the revelation of this heretofore confusing element of dying and living at the same time. But as we press forward and we love his appearing, then these things will all be put out where all can see. And people will know these are the ones who love Christ.
Amen.
Not just people, but principalities, powers, whoever else. So your life, he says, your life is hid with Christ in God. Titus has a word, or Paul has a word to Titus also that's similar. This is in chapter 2, verse 11. Many of these passages that I'm reading actually have lists of things that men are to leave behind. But they also have lists of things that men are to take a hold of. And these are not checklists. These are like just examples of things that you see are passing away and others that are becoming, you're becoming more of, and they of you. But here, the work of this, as I've said at the beginning, he loved us, therefore we love him. So the impetus or the force and the working behind this is God himself. For Paul says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. This is a current appearing. In other words, as you see God and as you see Christ and you see this working taking place, what does this do? This increases your love. This increases your readiness. Love, readiness, appearing. These are like all working together. They're all in the same room. So this grace of God has appeared, and it teaches us that as we deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we press forward and we live soberly, righteously, and godly, where? Right here, in this present world, that's none of the above. What are we doing? That is actually demonstrating that we're looking. We're looking for the blessed hope and the appearing, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So all these works, that the things that we're leaving behind, but more particularly the things that we're joining ourselves to, and here it says soberly, righteously, godly living, these are the things that are demonstrating our love and our readiness for his appearing. Also in the epistle that Peter wrote, his first letter, 1 Peter 1, another very helpful and similar text, he says, the trial of your faith, verse 7, be much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This is exactly what I believe Brother Ricky was looking at yesterday. This matter of tribulation is preparing you for this coming, for this appearing.
Amen.
But it's also causing you don't shy away from God and his work. You're actually being drawn into his work. As you see what tribulation is perfecting in you, this causes you to love this work and love this man and love Amen. this preparation that he's making. And it says here, verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. That's talking about like with the physical eye. Because we do, Paul said, but we do see Jesus. See? So there's a sense too in which his appearing will actually bring all these visions together. We'll be able to see him with the eye. But then we'll immediately be changed. whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And where's it heading? To receiving the end or the goal or the outcome of your faith, your salvation, the salvation of your soul. I want to look at several things that the Apostle John wrote that were to, when he wrote the letters to the seven churches in the beginning of the Revelation, he had many things to say, some more, some less, to the different churches. Some had some things that were registered against them, and but all had something that he gave them as a, that would increase their desire to overcome. So these, part of the thinking about loving his appearing is considering his promises. Now his promises, you can look all the way back to the garden when he made the promise in the garden that the one seed would have its head crushed, and you know, but we're talking about promises that are actually looking forward. So the Apostle John wrote many of these things down as a stimulant or as a bringing about of a greater love. Remember he talked to the one church and he said, you've left your first love. But loving God and preparing for his appearing is an indicator that men and women are overcoming. They're overcoming the world. Their faith is triumphing by God's grace and by God's work in the world itself. Amen. So there's a forward progression and a forward movement. But he held things out. See, we work by, or we advance by, what's the word I'm looking for? Incentive. See, and so he held incentives out before them. But we've already entered into these. We're not just hoping that we're going to get something. These things are actually already working, and we're already involved in these things.
Amen.
So I'm just going to list a couple, and you can look at these, and I know you're familiar with them. But he talked about this matter of eating of the tree of life.
Amen.
Another place it calls it the crown of life. We're not talking about physical life here, you know, doing well and not having aches and pains. He's talking about, like, eternal life. He's talking about being with God. He's talking about being in the presence of God and not just enduring the presence of God, but enjoying the presence of God.
Amen.
Being there in a compatibility with God because God has made it to be so. So eating of the tree of life and having this crown of life. When you think of a crown, you don't only think of honor, but you think of like a consummation of what you've had up to that point. That's what this crown is, like the crowning glory.
Amen.
See, that's what life is. You're going to be in his presence forevermore. He also talked about the ones, and this is joined right with this, that will not be hurt of the second death. Those that have eternal life, they're not hurt. We may feel that we've actually, brethren, been in that category and have come into very close contact with that, all of us, as we were dead in trespasses and sins.
Amen.
But see, by God's grace, we've been removed from that.
Amen.
So we will not be hurt of the second death.
Amen.
That makes you love God, that he's
Amen.
Taken you out of that category.
Amen.
We also will be given a resource of the hidden manna. In other words, there are things that are going to sustain you and strengthen you. And that you can feed upon. Our love for God is experienced certainly when we're among the brethren, when we're singing, when we're rejoicing. But it's also, it's not something that comes and goes. It's something it's in you, and it's with you, and it is you. See, you love God. You, your soul, your essential person, loves God.
Amen.
That's what the new creature does. He loves God.
Amen.
So we'll have a resource of the hidden manna. A white stone with a new name. All these things we've talked about them and we know somewhat about them, but we'll know more about them. But they're appealing. They're appealing to your love, to your desire, to your zealous affection to be with God. Also, power over the nations and the morning star. All these things are to the different churches, but they pertain to the people of God in general. There's no experience in the world that God can't address.
Amen.
See, he made the world and all that are in it. Mm-hmm. See, so there's nothing that's going to be left out. There's nothing where you're out on the edge and he just can't get to you. Mm-hmm. His love has gotten to you, and so your love can cleave to him, no
Amen.
Matter where you are. Also, we'll be given to be clothed in white raiment. This is particularly speaking of this righteous environment in which we will be. You'll be dressed for this wedding feast. So you won't have to be cast out. You'll have the garment. And your love will evidence that. You'll know that your name is established in the book of life.
Amen.
You'll look, and there it is. See? Because Jesus has worked on your behalf and taken away your sin and made you able. Also, will be made pillars in God's house. Now, there in a big house, there are many pillars, some larger and stronger and supporting, but all the people of God are in the building. They're all a part of that house. So the ones that overcome are made a pillar. In other words, you'll be a supporting nature of the work that God is going to do. I think of how it talks about the things that we use in this life to fight. Like the ones on the wall in Nehemiah's day, they would have like the sword in one hand, what was it, the trumpet in the other? The trowel in the other, yeah. So, but see, in the glory, it's like you'll have two trowels. You know, you won't have to worry about the danger anymore, you know, and the fighting. So you'll really be equipped and ready. But anyway, this has to do with being made a pillar in the house of the Lord and also a bearer of God's name. We will always be identified with God, always, because of Christ. This causes you to love him. This engenders and promotes and intensifies. See, all these words aren't big enough, but this love for God is increased. And also, lastly, a place to sit in his throne. You'll be granted a place to sit in his throne. He loved us, and therefore we love him. In the world, there's a saying, and it falls way short. People may say, well, if you know me, you would love me. Well, maybe not. Maybe you really wouldn't. But see, to know God and to know his son is to love him.
Amen.
So the whole point of what we're talking about this morning is get to know the Father, get to know the Son. You will love them. You will love them more, and you will love him at his appearing.
Amen.
Any comment from you, brethren?
I like how you, the point that you made towards the beginning there about how that the coming of the Lord is corrective in nature for so many different situations in life's experience. It's just this, just the knowledge of his appearing brings things into focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked how you made this point about how that is, it actually like, well, it's that, I don't know if you would like it onto a funnel, but see, like everything is actually going
right
in this direction, you know, where it's coming. You didn't use that. That's probably not the best analogy, but it's, you use this word snap, like everything like snaps into
focus.
Snaps into focus, yeah. You know. And
remember in the scriptures, in one of the prophets, it talks about how everything flows uphill. There's some of the dynamics and workings of earth that we see, but they're usually in the reverse direction. They don't work in the earth, but in heavenly kingdom they do. But yes, everything God has oriented everything. It's like when God will be all in all. See, everything is headed in one direction, and your love for God is fitted into this
Amen.
Work.
So. I love the point that you made about loving his appearing is about him, not just the appearing. But loving him does make everything about
he does.
His appearing.
Love. That's right.
That's right.
So, you know, we have glimpses and tastes of this in the world. Where, you know, any kind of activity that any of us really, really enjoy, you know, we call it a hobby or relaxing or whatever engagement that people have in some activity, you know, where a person is just really taken with that.
Mm-hmm.
They love every aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's really, like if it's photography, it's really just about getting the picture. But
mm-hmm.
they love every aspect of it, the gear and the process and mm-hmm. the editing, just every part of it, they just love. And that love for him is what sanctifies everything else.
That's right.
And so that's what, it's the salt of this life, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without a love for him, this life is...
miserable.
...is a burden.
Yeah.
It's tedious.
Mm-hmm.
It's bitter.
Amen.
It's, it really is the epitome of ruin without a love for him.
Amen.
But for... with that love, then all things are new.
Mm-hmm.
Old things have passed away. All things are new.
Mm-hmm.
It's that love that makes that division, that separation. That's how. That's mm-hmm. what puts the strength in taking up your cross and denying and abandoning,
mm-hmm.
leaving other things. Now you try to leave something. I mean, speaking as a man, try to leave something that you love.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's the love for him that enables and empowers the leaving
mm-hmm.
of the things that everybody's going to leave ultimately anyway.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paul said the love of Christ constraineth us. So there is a it's not like it's just, oh, well, it is a great work. It's hard, but it's pleasurable at the same time.
Yeah.
Brother Tim?
It's a very refreshing view of the coming of the Lord to think about just loving him. Mm-hmm. And what a contrast with a lot of what's called end times ministry.
Right.
Yeah. You know, people talking about the coming of the Lord, they're talking about an event, like you mentioned, and occurrences and things happening, and they don't talk about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so love has this dissatisfaction with separation.
Amen.
Like you mentioned the Psalm 42, as our heart panteth after the water, so my soul panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God,
mm-hmm.
for the living God. When shall I come before him? When shall I come and appear before God?
Amen.
Just longing to be with him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that just came across very clearly and beautifully in your message. Thank you, God.
Yeah, I just wonder how did David see that in comparison or in, you know, related to how we see it? See how much more we see of God through Christ and with the gospel. So our love, as it were, can be intensified and amplified even to a higher degree. I'm not saying we're competing against David in any way, but what did David have to work with? He had very few scriptures, comparatively speaking. But what did he do? Well, he spent time with God. So that's where the work is done. Of loving God.
Amen.
Knowing him.
This matter, it does say that those that love is appearing, though.
Right.
And to tie connect what you said with that, there are theologies that just focus on like that appearing as an event, like mm-hmm. you were pointing out. But see, his appearing means that now there's not going to be any more separation.
Right.
He's going to be with us.
Right.
It's still him, but now he's with us.
Right.
There's no. Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them?
Right.
The days shall come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them,
mm-hmm.
and in those days they shall fast.
Right. But that will be the day of forever joining together. There will be no more restriction, no barrier. So this will be the time at which this becomes clear and apparent. Okay, whoever comes back up now. None of his.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You want this thing? I don't know. We're
break about till 11:30. We'll meet up and then we'll have.